Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music by composer and guitarist Dani de Morón. We just heard Un Motivo from his album Cambio de Sentido. This weekend, the Philadelphia Flamenco Festival begins its second week of events with classes, performances, and film screenings and lectures. Presented under the auspices of Pasión y Arte, we speak today with its artistic director, Elba Evia Ivaca. Welcome to Crossover.
Thank you for having me.
I am so thrilled that we spoke actually last year because of the Philadelphia Flamenco Festival. So can you, for our listeners who don't know anything about that, tell us where you are with that? Is this the second year that you've had it? Is it the third year? How many have you had and how often?
Well, this is our second time. It's a biannual event, we hope. Our first flamenco festival was 2012, and we had Rosario Toledo as our guest artist, and we sold out 8 shows, and we're hoping to do the same. We're going to have our festival, this 2014 festival, from March 1st to 16th.
Where does it take place?
We have numerous partners this year. We have Drexel University, we have WHYY, the Kimmel Center, Annenberg Center.
And also Longwood Gardens,
Longwood Gardens, thank you. Yes. Longwood Gardens and iHouse. Those two beautiful places.
That's the International House, right?
Correcto.
Actually, though, the festival is like any other festival. It's a celebration of the dance and all the music that goes with it. And there are performances. But this goes far beyond flamenco. This is a special way of singing and dancing and expressing artistically through music. And what is going on? Certainly all of the dance is going through, music is going through changes as even as we speak. And what was contemporary 10 years ago isn't anymore. So tell us about flamenco, which is how old?
Well, there's numerous theories about flamenco, how old as we know it is. I mean, a lot of people think it's, you know, 18th century, late 18th century. Obviously, its beginnings are way, way back from, you know, 1600s, 1500s after the Arabs were displaced and that kind of situation occurred in the south of Spain. Flamenco was born out of angst, you know.
Okay. It's like this Negro spirituals that we have in our American music.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. It was the outcasts that were working.
Exactly.
And singing and expressing pain and love and glory and loneliness, I guess.
Exactly.
And I somehow think about that with flamenco because it's very intense.
It's a celebration of all feelings. We literally celebrate sadness.
Yes.
At its most depth. But the wonderful thing about it is that you always end with hope. Bulerías, burlar, to jest with. We have a rhythm called that. So what I'm finding, and it's interesting, and of course I'm not from there, but the humor, finding humor in life. In flamenco, there's always that.
Thank you. Well, I think in struggle there's that. The slaves struggle with coming to terms with your life, that the way you have to live it, and you have to look, I guess, towards to something to sustain you, I suppose. So that is common, I guess.
It is.
In sacrifice and struggle and pain. But flamenco, well, flamenco, of course, has been glorified in the movies as well. I mean, lots of toe tapping and smart movements. And tell us, really, what is happening here? Is there a change in the style? Is this what's going on there?
We specifically, with our very special guest, Israel Galvan, his particular work is putting flamenco in this very 21st century trajectory. His style is particularly his own within the structure of rhythms that we play upon. So he's still very flamenco, but with his particular signature. And that's what's happening. And I think he's the maverick at the moment in Spain and all over the, he's been all over the world, received numerous prizes. So he's a maverick of that particular space that we're in flamenco.
Now there's dancing, there's singing, there's an accompaniment. Those are certainly the vital parts of performance. So where is the change coming from? I mean, is the dance different as well as the music?
I think we're going to have to think about, as well as, I mean, his particular piece, La Curva, that will be premiering in the East Coast. He collaborated with Sylvie Corrivier, who is a pianist, very, very, very contemporary pianist. So that's a very particular approach to his experience and what La Curva is. But he always, in all his works, he brings in the traditional cante.
The song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The song. And that's the glue to what flamenco continues to be.
Well, and the words,
yeah,
I would imagine.
The verses are, you know, speak to that particular rhythm, speak to the human angst or to the human celebratory component. So it's still a driving force in his art form. But what is different in his work and I think a leader is the beyond conceptually, he's created his own particular style within the framework of flamenco.
Which is pretty much what happens with contemporary music. I mean, you're using the same tools, but you're rearranging them one way or another. Are the words the same?
The words are the same. Isabel Bacan is going to be singing traditional flamenco.
Which is, are there chants? Are there songs? Are there occasional works for occasion?
In his work, in his La Curva, she sings traditional music, just traditional songs that have been passed on from centuries. Most of us don't even know where they come from.
Now,
those words.
Are they only the words, or are they also the style?
Style and words, both.
Yes.
Very
so
specific.
Where is the? There's a whole contemporary influence in this that one hears in certain presentations. And what is it that changes then? The words remain the same.
Correct.
The music, is that different?
In this particular case with Sylvie Corrivier, absolutely. She plays the piano in a very particular way. Her work is very, very avant-garde. So that collaboration already became something different. You have three different elements together. You have music, cante, and dance, but the music is not the traditional element. So therefore, everything's going to be an interesting soupy mix of...
In other words, the music is not themes that one knows, flamenco themes.
Absolutely not.
It's improvisation or perhaps newly created.
Newly created composition.
Then she's not only playing alone, but she also has percussion with her.
Which is Israel Galvan.
Which is the dancing.
And Babote is the percussionist king, if we call it in Spain. He's going to be helping with the percussive component of it by playing palmas, which are hand clapping, or sometimes he just does a rhythm on the table to keep the rhythm as part of the experience.
So that's rhythm against rhythm? I mean, the dancing
always
is rhythm,
yes.
And then you've got the accompaniment or... Well, I guess it is accompaniment.
Yeah, it
really
is. It is.
Music once again by composer Dani de Morón, who also performs it on the guitar, Morón D.F. It's from the album Cambio de Sentido. So now, for someone who knows nothing about flamenco, is there anything, and I'm going to use the word traditional, because say you say, oh my gosh, flamenco, I have to go and I have to see because you're appearing in so many different places. And what would you suggest? Is it a new experience in terms of, is it a shock to the entire system? Or is it something exciting for someone who has to know what's going on? If you bought tickets for the Flamenco Festival, how would you describe that? How would you advise somebody that, say, doesn't really know what flamenco is?
Well, there are numerous different productions, some more traditional than others. So if you were to see La Curva from Israel Galvan, you have to really look at redefining the language of flamenco. Decide that you're going to be open to the experience of a different way of looking at flamenco.
So you're speaking to the aficionados.
Correcto.
Okay, now, what about the beginners that love ruffled skirts and a lot of heels?
There is going to be two performances of Pastora Galvan, his sister, and she goes through more traditional elements of flamenco while she's also in the new flamenco style.
She's subtly adding.
Correcto. It's actually, he choreographed this for her.
Okay.
So that is a very particular component. I mean, she would be, if you were to want to see one or the other and you've never seen flamenco, Pastora Galvan may give you a little bit more of the traditional style.
Now, you do have a brochure that tells you where things are happening.
And a website.
What is the website?
www.filaflamencofest.org.
Okay, that's easy enough.
All the information is in there. Talks.
Now, if you want to sign up, do you do that at the door or do you call and have tickets?
Well, you can sign up through the website. Purchase tickets for that. A lot of free events, master classes with these great artists.
When are some of those?
They're going to be happening in March, various different times in March, at Drexel, at Mandel Theater, at the Kimmel, and at the Annenberg Studios. Lots of master classes for that, and they're free. They're for beginners.
That's
Anyone's welcome.
Isn't that wonderful that's free? That is really exciting.
Yes.
It's I think best if you can go onto the computer, you go to the website.
Absolutely.
And you can see exactly what's going on.
Or you can, if there's a reason that you're not accessed to the computer, you can always call us at the number.
And what is that?
267-235-5685.
Okay.
We'd be happy to help you get tickets
and
more information. And then we have the educational component with scholars. They're all free events as well. Michelle Hefner-Hayes, the PhD, who's been really, her specialty has been flamenco, is guiding an educational component that has different phases of it. We have flamenco for everyone. We have gender, tradition, and technique of flamenco, contemporary flamenco, cultural legacy, imperative. And then we have flamenco's influence on visual arts and popular culture with a lecture and featuring dance scholars Lynn Brooks, Ninochka Bonham and Marriott Goldberg, which is very exciting.
And the names alone tell us how varied the interest is and how exciting it is. I mean, just the word flamenco excites me. Some of the newer things, I don't know, maybe we'll see. I'm always open to the new. Thank you. Once again, music by Dani de Morón from his album Cambio de Sentido. We heard Barrio C. Tell us a little bit about you, Elba. You're really a scholar and you are a teacher and I guess a writer as well. What is your background?
Well, I'm from La Paz, Bolivia, and I started dancing when I was about 5 years old, and then the conservatory, and then fell in love with flamenco around age 12. And that was it. I caught the bug. Of course, then I ended up coming to college here in Washington, D.C. That had nothing to do with flamenco because, you know, family doesn't. They want you to do the practical thing. But ended up being in various companies in Washington, D.C., and then just decided that's what my role is. And of course, my particular direction in flamenco is women empowerment, using flamenco to empower women. I have an all-female dance company that we started here in Philadelphia in 2000, and all the work is about women, for women. I decided that I wanted to kind of explore the idea of women being protagonists of their own stories.
I remember last year when we spoke, that was terribly exciting because it's such a male-dominated style of dance. I mean, that's you don't even think of women other than wearing these exquisite gowns with the long ruffles and beautiful colored shoes, and they're stomping and stamping, and the men are posing, and you hear someone clapping. And I mean, that's the trite picture that we have. I mean, because we don't know any better, but that's terribly important, especially in that whole culture. I mean,
very patriarchal culture.
How do the men feel about that? I mean, what's going on?
Well, there's an interest. There's numerous. I mean, here we have Israel Galvan, who's non-gender. If you were to see his work, it's non-gender. He has also decided to change the maleness of flamenco. He does both. So yeah. It's also what's interesting to me. But in terms of how the old generation feels about that, it's a patriarchal culture.
Yes.
Gypsy culture is patriarchal.
Yes.
Women still are very, 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 very beholden to the patriarch. So it's been an interesting idea.
How do the women feel about it? I'm curious because some women don't care. They say, leave it alone. You know,
it
the way it is.
It's true. I think there's two camps. I think there's those who just adhere and I'm not interested. I'm just going to do my life. And there's those who've removed themselves from that environment and do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And then there are those that say, well, I'm not that passionate, but, you know, I'll kind of go along and see what's going on. But, you know.
Very true.
Well, that's a good way to be. And I think you're really presenting it through flamenco. You know, we try to get a message across all the time. This really does. I mean, art is usually, I think, it's kind of non-sectarian in a way, you know, and but dance, especially flamenco, has always been the male, the glorifying the male, and the strength and the passion and the vigor.
And then there's the beautiful woman.
And then the beauty, the
woman.
Know,
sexual,
who is,
the yes, loved
right,
other.
Right. Well, that's not too bad either. So.
Well, we're more than that.
Yeah,
we're much more
yeah,
than that. We're protagonists of our own stories.
I think so. And I think it's always been. And I think part of the idea was not to let the men in on that because we really knew what was going on.
Absolutely.
But this is exciting. And this is, again, how many have you had so far, festivals?
We've had one festival, 2012, generously supported by the Pew Center of Arts and Heritage and the Knights Foundation. We're very, very fortunate for that.
Wonderful. So again, there's so many things that are happening. You really have to get a list of them. So once again, the number to call is
267-235-5685.
And the website is
www.filaflamencofest.org.
And Elba Evia Ivaca, it was wonderful speaking with you. Absolutely exciting. And I hope we'll have a festival every year.
Oh, but thank you so much for having us again. It is truly a joy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Elba Evia Ivaca, artistic director of the Philadelphia Flamenco Festival, speaking about this year's festival and the artists that are performing and how they each have very different interpretations of flamenco, which is reflected in the music. The festival is in its second week, and if you're interested and you want further information, you can go to the web at www.filaflamencofest.org or 267-235-5685. That's 267-235-5685. A rather sad note to add today, the loss of a very, very great, great artist known for flamenco, Paco de Lucía. He died about 10 days ago, and we now listen to him performing a bularia, Moraito Siempre. We've just heard the great Paco de Lucía performing a bularia, Moraito Siempre. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.